Thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I'm here with my dear friend, Rebecca Matthews. Rebecca is a wife of 23 years, so we get to find out some of her secrets. She's a mother to two amazing daughters, Ellen and Olivia, Texas Tech alumni. She's a business owner for Rebecca Matthews Image and Style, where she's a personal stylist. So you guys, if you need a personal stylist, you might want to call Rebecca. She's also a Stella and Dot representative, and she's currently working at Pretty Please, a really cool boutique store. So just a little bit about Rebecca. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thanks, Monique.
I'm so excited that you are here with me. We have known one another for a very long time because our daughters are pretty much best friends. Your daughter, Olivia, and my daughter, Sine, attend Memorial High School together. One of the reasons I called Rebecca and asked her to interview was because, you know, we talk about life, love, marriage, divorce, and Rebecca's been successfully married for 23 years. And I just wanted to know some of her secrets as far as encouraging other married couples, especially young married couples, and how to be successful in that. And we'll get to that. I want to introduce Rebecca to you guys a little bit. Rebecca, you grew up in East Texas, right?
I did. My dad was a Methodist preacher. He's retired now. I moved 5 times before I graduated from high school.
5 times? Mm-hmm. Like, why?
5 different cities because the Methodist church works that way.
Oh, okay.
And so the last move I made, which was the hardest, was between my sophomore and junior year in high school. So I went to 2 high schools.
Wow.
Which really opened up my mind and my world I went from a city to a little town in the country. Mm-hmm. But it really did strengthen my character, made me a lot more outgoing.
Yeah.
And I'm able to basically talk to a tree.
Well, you are very social, and that's a good thing. And probably because as a kid, when you have to adapt. When I moved here from, I don't know if people know this, but I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And when I moved here, I moved here when I was 10, turning 11. So I was starting middle school. So I had 3 different middle schools. Go figure.
That's
so
hard.
I definitely understand when you say, hey, it makes you adapt because either you're going to fly or you're not going to fly.
That's
and you
right.
got to figure it out.
Yeah.
So different high schools, small community, large community. So how was it growing up as a preacher's kid?
It's hard because you live in a glass bubble.
Yeah.
Everybody is watching you.
Yeah.
If you get in trouble, everybody knows. Your dad surely knows very quickly, especially when we moved to a small town.
Yeah.
Everybody knew everybody's business. So it was difficult.
It was difficult.
But it was also a place for me to be grounded
mm-hmm.
because we did not miss church
right.
on a Sunday.
Right.
And for us as a family, that was really important. And it has become something that is very important to me now
mm-hmm.
with my own family.
With your own family. So let me ask you this. When did you actually become a Christian for yourself?
I would say it was probably in college when I had to make the choice for myself whether to go or not. That
yeah.
was when I really began to understand how important it was and how beneficial it was for me to go in college.
Right.
And found a great church in Lubbock. And with a pastor that was incredible. And I felt like he was talking to me every Sunday.
Every Sunday. And that's important. You got to find the right place where the word reaches and touches your heart.
Yes.
You know, and it can be anywhere, but you'll know it. The Spirit will touch you.
You will know it.
You'll mm-hmm. know it. So I do know that your parents were married for 30 years and they divorced. Tell me about that.
Well, they were very happily married for a long time.
That's a long time.
But moving and being a preacher's family
mm-hmm.
is hard.
Stressful.
It's very stressful. And I think they also were fabulously involved in our lives. They never missed an event that we were a part of, whether it was theater, cheerleading, swimming, any sport we played, they were there.
That's good.
But because there were 3 of us, they had to divide and conquer.
Yeah.
So we spent a lot of time, my parents spent a lot of time apart,
mm-hmm.
traveling with my brother swimming or me doing one thing or the other, or my dad having to stay home to be at the church. But So when I graduated from high school and they became empty nesters, they had to find each other again, and that was difficult. Yes.
So how old were you when they divorced?
So I was in college. I was a sophomore in college when that happened.
So how did that news happen? Did you kind of know something was going on?
Yes.
Or was it a total surprise?
It was not a total surprise, because my senior year in high school, they were not getting along well. They were actually separated in the same house, but when we walked out of the house, we acted like nothing was wrong.
Mm.
Which is hard to do. Mm-hmm. As a kid. Mm-hmm. You grow up really fast having to do that, because you don't want, again, the whole city or the town or the church to judge you.
Yeah.
But you realize that your parents
are human.
No matter what their job is, they're human.
Yeah.
They still have the same feelings as everybody else.
Yeah.
They're prone to the same temptations, the same everything.
Right.
And that was when I knew something probably would happen, but I never thought it actually would until it did.
It actually happened.
Yes.
So did that affect your faith?
Absolutely. I felt like my family was literally like a rug.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, it felt like the rug was ripped out, because we were a very close-knit family because we had to move so much.
Yeah.
My brother and sister and I were very close, because sometimes we were our only friends.
Yeah.
When we moved to a new
yeah.
city. And when the rug is pulled from underneath you, you got to find another foundation. And that's really when I turned to the church for help and realized that I've got to make my own life. And it's time. I needed to grow up. I was in college, and I really... That was the beginning of knowing I'm going to have to make my own life.
Right.
And my own foundation.
Right. Because I sometimes wondered, you know, me being divorced. And when I was divorced, like when I was separated, India was probably 3. A lot of people don't know that. And I'll be divorced this year, like legally divorced, 4 years. So I wondered how it affects an adult versus a kid mm-hmm. growing up, you
right.
know. And it might be more difficult in the older years, you know,
well,
or mature years, because you're so used to it. And, you know, like kids, as we say, they're resilient. They can adapt to
yes.
almost anything, you
mm-hmm.
know. And so that's why I asked you that question.
Well, you understand a lot more about relationships
mm-hmm.
and about how they work when you're 20.
Yeah.
As opposed to when you're a child.
Yeah.
And so I went through all the stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
I was angry. I felt abandoned by both of them.
And they're not talking about it.
And they're really not talking about it.
Yeah.
Because neither one wanted... They handled it well in that they didn't talk bad about each other around us.
That's
ever.
That's great, yeah.
And never was a bad word said out of my mother's mouth or out of my father's mouth about either one. And that really was helpful
mm-hmm.
because they both knew that my relationship with my parents was about to be a one-way street and not a three-way street.
After 30 years, your mom had been a homemaker.
And a preacher's wife.
Time, and
yes.
a preacher's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then she moves in with your sister.
Right. After only 6 months of marriage. Right.
Wow.
Right.
I'm going to have to call your sister.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a story
yeah.
in itself. So during that time, how did that shape your views about marriage? Were you like, this thing is not going to, I'm not going to, you know,
never,
ever get married. Did you
never,
ever have those feelings?
I never thought that.
Oh, that's
I
great.
I always wanted to be married. I was very scared.
Scared.
And even in the first probably 7 years of my own marriage, I was still scared.
Really?
That something would happen and it would be over.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking back.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to remember that my husband is not my dad.
Right.
I am not my mother.
Right.
We have a completely different relationship than they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully and completely trust my husband. And he does the same for me.
Right.
About me.
Right.
And some people may laugh at that and think that that's naive. or but I've if you don't trust and have a full trust in the, in your spouse and partner for life, there's a huge problem,
because you already have a problem.
You can't share right. your deepest thoughts with right. them. You right. can't, and that's part of the success is right. trusting and knowing that you're giving your entire self mm-hmm. to this person, mm-hmm. not just your body, mm-hmm. not just your mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is your feelings and thoughts, the deepest parts of you that I trust him to hold dear to him.
That's a beautiful thing. So let's go into that. How did Ross Matthews come into your life and capture your heart?
We met at a wedding.
At a wedding.
I tell all young people.
Did you catch the bouquet? No. What was that?
I was the maid of honor in my friend's wedding, and he was there, and he nudged his friend, said, "Who's that?" when I walked down the aisle, and we were introduced during the reception, and we started dating about 6 months after that.
Are you serious? So did you, like, was there an instant connection? Because I find that when I talk to people, the connectivity, like, they know. You know what I'm saying?
Well, was a connection. There was a quicker connection for him than there was for me.
Oh, okay.
Because I was busy doing my job.
Yeah.
And when we had our second date, I knew it immediately. Yeah. I said, "That's the guy I'm going to marry."
Okay, listen, people. You know, it's not like I got to date him for 5 years to figure it out. You should kind of know which way you're going, you know.
And I'd been out with a lot of people in college and in high school. Dated different people, never really seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But when I met him, I had never had that feeling before ever. And it hit me like a ton of bricks.
That's great.
That's the guy.
Listen, people. When you have a feeling that you cannot explain, that words cannot even define it.
No.
That's a good sign.
That's a good
sign. You might be married for 23 years.
And hopefully longer, right?
Hopefully longer. So you said at the second date, you knew that you were going to marry this guy. When did he know he was going to marry you?
You know, I can't answer that for him, but it took him 3 years to ask me to marry him.
It took him 3 years. Okay, so second date, so, he's the one, and then we got 3 years. So what was it? So, were y'all like in different places or what?
He felt like he needed to have a solid job, a solid foundation to offer me.
That's a good man.
Before he really made
that
next step.
Taking on that responsibility.
Exactly. He really wanted to make sure that I think it was more about him than it was about me.
Yeah.
Making sure he was ready to, so, you know,
but that's,
do
that's
everything.
Powerful, because I remember, I think Santana had a similar, he says, like, you need to be able to take care, his dad told him, you need to be able to take care of yourself before you can take care of her. And so I think that's good advice for men. But women need to know that too.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but and that's important for a man to know that, listen, I'm about to be responsible for her and maybe
start building a family. Yes.
And I can't go into this thing not knowing who I am or feeling, you know, solid about.
Well, and at the time he was living in Beaumont, I was living in Dallas.
So that makes
We weren't in the same city for the first year we dated apart. And until he felt like he was really settled and on his way to a successful career, he just, I don't think he felt comfortable.
But I like that honesty.
Yes. Yeah.
So you guys, you know, you talked about trust in just a little bit ago. Seems like you really built your relationship on that foundation of trust.
Because
he was comfortable enough to tell you and to not be pressured to be like, okay, well, I'm going to do this before it's time. Because it allowed him to grow as a man and to know what he wanted to contribute to the relationship.
Right. And, you know, I think some people go into their life with a timeline.
Yeah.
That I want to do this by the time I'm this age. And I want to do the next thing by the time I'm this age. Yeah. And he had that all planned out.
Mm-hmm.
And when he didn't hit he wanted to be married by the time he was 25. Well, he didn't get married till he was 29, and he didn't get married, you know, and the first kid was later than he thought, but he gained 4 years because I'm 4 years younger. So he gained four. Got 4 years back with that one. But I think he is a very methodical man that really seriously thinks about every decision that he makes. And sometimes that drives me crazy. Yeah. But because I make decisions very quickly, out of necessity most of the time. But with children, you don't have that luxury all the time. But I have learned that's a give and take. And another thing I wanted to say about being successful in marriage, you have to give up a lot. Mm-hmm. You're giving up a lot, and you're living with someone 24/7, which is difficult.
Yeah.
You don't always love your children all day long. No. You love them.
You might not like them. Yeah,
right, right. And it's difficult to share your life with somebody like that and not have a problem.
Yeah.
But
to be able to communicate and articulate, this is bothering me. And maybe when your parents didn't communicate,
it
caused you to be like, we got to communicate because I know what can happen when you don't.
Right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. They stopped communicating. They stopped telling each other what their problems were. They stopped actually making time for themselves, which is a problem when you have kids, and it's very difficult to find time, couple time.
How do you find couple time right now with Ross?
You know, it's small things. It's not a big date night every week. It's maybe going to the grocery store together, or watching an hour show together on the couch once in a while.
Right.
You know, it is difficult, especially when they're little, to find that time. But you have to do it because you have to make it a priority. And when you make something a priority, then you work towards it.
And you know what? I'm glad that you said that, because I remember it's not so scripted. It's like wherever we can find it.
Right.
I think that spontaneity is good. And I think it's good for people to know. Because I remember we used to have every Friday we're going out to the movies. And it becomes more of a habitual thing. Every Friday we're doing this. And it's good to have a schedule. I'm not saying don't have it. But also take advantage of that little, hey, you got 30 minutes to watch the TV show with me or this sporting event? Because I know that Ross is, he's a Longhorn, okay? He's a big UT fan. So
we watch a lot of sports together.
A lot of
together.
Sports together, you know? And
that brings another point about giving up things. I hated UT growing up. I hated him. I went to Texas Tech. We were rivals.
Yeah.
But I figured out he has season tickets to UT games.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to be with him in the fall,
figure it out. Yeah,
I better get on board.
Yeah.
And so the first year, I bought a navy Longhorn shirt with a tiny little Longhorn. And the second year, I bought a white shirt with an orange Longhorn.
So
and by the third year, I was all in.
You're all in.
Because if I wanted to spend my weekends in the fall with my husband, I was going to have to go.
And what did he do for you? Because you say it's a sacrifice. So that was small, but it was big. Because it's all about effort.
That's right.
Right?
So while we were in Austin for games, we would go out for a nice dinner, a nice date. He would treat me to something like that.
So it was a good balance.
It was. Yeah. It was. And he made it fun for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
We would find couple friends to go with instead of me and all the boys, you know, that he from college. So
that's good. You guys built a... Oh, I love Ross. Okay, so... Give me another tool that you think has helped your marriage.
So we went into our marriage knowing that divorce was not an option,
period.
Unless it was an abusive situation, we decided at the end of every day, we're still for each other.
Okay. That's good.
That means that we're going to work it out. We may not work it out before we go to bed. And that is said a lot, that you shouldn't go to bed.
Don't go to bed.
Being mad. But I don't agree with that, because sometimes when it's late at night and you're exhausted, you say things you do not mean.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you really do need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
And then have a better, you're in a better place the next
day.
So
I'm going to say, hold your tongue.
Hold, yes. Okay. And there was a great book written by Ed Young of Second Baptist.
Second Baptist, yeah.
About marriage. And it's a fabulous book that lists out a lot of things. One is to fight fair.
Yeah. And I think we don't know how to fight fair.
We do not.
Yeah.
No, you're not taught how to fight fair.
Not at all.
And you can't, in every argument, you can't bring up everything that they've ever done, because that's not fair. You have to move on.
And if you are, if your primary focus is about winning, you've already lost.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, your primary thought is, how are we going to work this out?
Find a solution.
We have to find a solution.
Yeah.
And again, at the end of every day, we are still for each other,
mm-hmm.
and for staying together. Whether that is forsaking our children's, not ever their well-being, but their choices.
But you understand that you guys are first.
We're first.
And you understand that order.
That exactly.
Yeah.
And we've told our children that.
Wow, that's powerful.
That my first priority is your dad.
Yeah.
You're my second priority.
That's strong. That's strong.
Because I think that's a mistake my parents made.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made us their priority.
Instead of the marriage.
And not each other. Yes. And then they were lost when we were gone. We only have these kids for a short amount of time.
Amen.
But we have our husbands till the day we die, hopefully.
Yeah.
So that's
some of us.
Some
y'all.
Of them. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, so, I think every situation is different.
Oh, everyone is different.
But I do believe in marriage. I am a true hopeless romantic, and I encourage others. And that was the thing. I was married for 22 years. I mean, I know Santana over 30 years. So we redefined how we wanted our family to be. The romantic side of it just is gone. But the family part of it mm-hmm. continues. And I hope that whatever I have learned from it, that I can share with other people. And that's why I talk to you or whomever, because there are people who are going to be in different stages of their life. Mm-hmm. And the whole goal is to encourage them through it and let them know that they can be successful wherever.
Absolutely.
Be it in marriage, be it in transition, be it wherever. So,
and if you get married in the wrong time of your
life. At the wrong time of your life.
Or for different reasons.
Yes.
It doesn't set you up for success.
Exactly.
Now, it can be turned into success.
It can.
By marrying someone else. I mean, because you learn a lesson and you move on.
Yeah.
And you have to own your own
stuff. And you have to do your work.
You've got to work on your own stuff because if you go into the next marriage with the same stuff, you're going to get the same
result.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
wow, this is some good stuff. I mean, man, you and I, we can talk for 3 or 4 hours.
I know.
We won't do that to you guys, okay? So I wanted to ask you about yourself as we get ready to wrap up. What have you learned about Rebecca in 23 years as a wife and a mother?
I need to have my own independent life
mm-hmm.
separate from my marriage.
That's powerful.
Because my mother had to go back to work at 55.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hard for her to re-enter
the
work
world.
Yes. All she'd really done before was volunteer. So,
right.
And that helped her find another job. But for me, it has taught me about independence,
mm-hmm.
The importance of having something else to think about.
Yeah.
So I'm not obsessing over every little thing that he may or may not do.
Yeah.
But it's also teaching my girls, I think, to be independent themselves.
To be independent. Yeah.
That no matter what, even, you know, we are not guaranteed this life.
Amen.
And if, God forbid, anything were to happen to Ross, I do not want to be helpless.
Right.
I do not want to be clueless
right.
on how to move on.
Right.
I will not want to.
Right. But that's
but
that's
you
good.
You have to have something in your life that fulfills you, because your spouse cannot fulfill every single thing in your life.
Speak the truth.
And it's unfair.
Yes.
To expect them to do that. It's completely unfair.
We're going to replay that over and over and over for somebody, because it's so true. So many times we are looking for our mates to make us happy, and that is not their job nor their position.
Mm-mm.
That's an inside job. That's some inside deep work. And the moment you understand that, you can be successful.
It's so freeing too.
It's freeing.
It is so freeing
right,
to
right.
know that you can make yourself happy.
Mm-hmm.
That everything that you are is perfect the way you are right now.
Right.
And that's what I try to tell people when I do seminars, and especially young girls.
Yeah.
I say, you are perfect the way you are, the size you are, the color of your skin, your hair, your eyes,
yeah,
your body, you are perfect. You are made in God's image.
Amen.
And no man is going to be able to fulfill and make all of you happy. Yes, they're going to make you very happy, but
right,
they're not going to fulfill all of your needs.
They should compliment you.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I tell my kids.
Just as you should compliment them.
You should compliment them. Mm-hmm. It is not their job to fix you, to make you happy, to solve all your problems.
And vice versa. If you think you can fix a man, you're wrong. Please.
Girl,
that's another
with
conversation.
Wine instead of this coffee I'm drinking.
That's a whole other conversation.
So we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Well, Rebecca, I thank you for your time. This has been great. I hope that, you know, the Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce listeners were able to receive your words of wisdom and kindness, and that what it takes to build a successful relationship, and it takes work.
It does.
And
I'm not perfect. Oh, my Lord.
None of us are.
No.
None of us are. But if you are willing to do the work, and I think that the main things that I just want to reiterate on is that you'll know that person. They'll mm-hmm. make you feel something like you never felt before. You'll be able to, and with that, you'll be able to build trust and communication.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, know yourself before you go into any relationship.
Oh,
because that is the guarantee for not only a successful marriage, but a successful you. So thank you for your time once again. And
you're so welcome.
Love
thank
you so much.
You. Love you too.
We'll come
thank
back
you.
To the microphone at a later date.
That's good.
All right. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I hope that you guys enjoyed the show this week, that you can take some of those words of wisdom and advice and apply it to your own relationship or share it with someone you know who it can benefit. I look forward to you guys tuning in next Tuesday at noon. May God bless you, and until we meet again, take care.